Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 18. Luke in chapter 18. Praise the Lord for opportunity to be in church today. Amen. How many of you would rather be here in church and stuck in an ice storm somewhere? Amen. I trust that the ice storms are all behind us at this point. But we're in church in a very comfortable environment here, amen. We have already been blessed by just being around other born-again believers, being around the atmosphere of worship, being ministered to by song. It's just been a blessing, and I trust that you are aware of that. Now we get to study the very words of an almighty creator God. And that's powerful stuff right there. I trust that you are ready to receive it. If you will stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning as we look at Luke chapter 18. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 8. Luke chapter 18. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning, and we do love you, Lord, and thank you for what we've already received thus far this morning. Thank you for the privilege it is to be in church. And now, Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today through the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. One of the most important things for a believer to do as we await the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ is to pray. April is our prayer and fasting awareness month. Fasting is an extension of prayer. And without prayer, fasting is just a diet. But with it being an extension of your prayer life, it holds the power of God. Yeah. In this passage of scripture that we've just read, Jesus wanted his disciples to pray. No doubt about that as we study the Gospels, we find the life of Christ. But in this particular chapter, he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. He presented this parable of the unjust judge in verses 2 through verse 7. After he made the statement that men ought always to pray and not to faint, we find that he presents a parable. And in this parable, it tells us if an unjust judge would act because of a persistent widow, how much more would our God, who is very just, who is very righteous, how much more would our God act to answer prayer? In verse 8, he says, and I tell you that he will. He will. So we find here that verse 1, it says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And after this parable, he says to us, he will answer. He will answer our prayers. That's why we ought always to pray. That word ought means that which is expected but not forced. That's what God expects of all born-again believers, all of us that have received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. God's expectations for His children is to communicate with Him on a regular basis. He says we ought to pray, ought always to pray. As adults, can I tell you, we ought to bathe ourselves and brush our teeth on a daily basis. For if not, we'll find ourselves homeless and living on the streets. Amen? You say, how do you know that? Well, I know that if you don't bathe and you don't brush your teeth, you're not going to keep a family. Husbands, you're not going to keep your wife, and wives, you're not going to keep your husband. You're not going to keep a job. And so as we understand life itself and in life, if we do not continue to bathe and continue to brush our teeth and do some of the things we ought to do, but as an adult, no one forces us to do that, I don't think. Now, children, of course, as parents, they understand what they have need of, and we make them, we force them to make sure that they take a bath even when we go to camp. Now, they try to get out of it at camp a lot of time, but when the green stuff starts hanging off their teeth, you realize that person did not brush their teeth. And you get around them and you realize there's a stench in the air somewhere, and you realize that one did not take a bath. And so as young people and as parents, we make sure that they do what we want them to do later on in life, the things that they ought to do as an adult. As an adult, we should not have to have anybody tell us to bathe ourselves. And as an adult, we should not have to have anybody tell us that we need to brush our teeth. And there's certain things that as adults, we ought to do certain, they're expected of us in society. And it's expected of you, of God. He's not going to force you. But if you understand what is associated with your prayer life, then you will realize I ought to always pray. Yeah. Ought to always pray and not to faint. That idea of faint, as we look at it right here, it is, the definition is lacking strength. Prayer life gives you spiritual strength, whether you understand it or not. It gives you help. It gives you strength that you don't even realize. Lacking strength. Becoming weak. A lot of times we become weak, not able to do what we ought to do because we have turned away from prayer. To grow discouraged. That is a definition, if you will, of this idea of faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You should never get to the place where you're growing discouraged. It could be, and the reason why God says that you might be growing discouraged in your life is because you do not have that communication with God as you ought to have. We do not have the strength to carry on. We don't have what we have need of because we are not praying as we ought to pray. He ends this by saying, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, at the rapture of the church, shall he find faith? Now, now he changes it to faith because it is faith that leads us to pray as we ought to pray. First thing I want to present to you this morning is we ought to pray because faith tells me that there is a God. Jesus came and he revealed to us that we have a heavenly Father. Now, in the Old Testament, Israel looked to a creator God. But when Jesus came, he wanted to establish in this New Testament church age the fact that we as born-again believers have a heavenly Father that we can communicate with on a regular basis. We have access into the very presence of a creator God. The Bible teaches us, and Jesus presented to us, the priesthood of all believers. The Old Testament priests were the only ones that could come into the very presence of God. But in New Testament Christianity, all of us, if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been adopted into the family of God, and you have a heavenly Father that wants you to communicate with Him. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to pray. We ought to pray because faith, if you have faith to believe, will reveal to you that there is a God who wants you to communicate with Him. People call out to a so-called God when their life is in danger, when they need a miracle. Yeah. Hoping to be heard. When you know God by faith, you know you will be heard. That's a big difference there. To pray to an unknown God or a hopeful, there's a God there that's going to hear my prayer, doesn't do as much for us as knowing that we have a heavenly Father and knowing whenever I desire, whenever I have a need, no matter what's going on in my life, that I can turn to and I can ask for whatever I need to ask for. And I have the confidence to know that He hears my prayer. You've heard the illustration of a man that fell off a cliff. And as he fell off the cliff, he got too close. He fell off. He was able to grab a hold of a root coming out before he would fall to the bottom of the ravine. And he cries out and he looks up and he says, "If there is a God, if you're real, save me." And he hears a voice saying, "Just let go and I'll catch you." And he looks back up and says, "Is there anyone else up there?" You see, sometimes we pray to God and we want Him to do what we want Him to do, but when you know that God hears you, amen, you know that there is a God and He hears my prayer and I'll do whatever it is He tells me to do. Look with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 18. Psalms, chapter 18. Do you know there's a God? You ought to know there's a God. And we can look at nature, know that there's an intelligent design in all things. We can study the Bible and understand. Just look at the history of the Bible that has been preserved. Only God could have preserved the Bible the way that it has been preserved for us today. There's so many things that if you really want to look at what God has given to us, there is signs everywhere, and we can know that there is a God. We ought to pray because I know there's a God. The Bible says in Psalms 18 and verse 6, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears." Look at chapter 19, verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God." That's what they speak. Nature declares, speaking to us, there's a God. "And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." The best way to know that there's a God is yield your spirit to His spirit. Amen. There's something about yielding to God's plan of salvation and just simply doing what the Bible says, what God says you must do to be forgiven of your sins and to be given a relationship with God, to be adopted into the family of God. And that is just basically believing and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And once you have believed, and once you had the faith to just receive Jesus Christ and the gift of everlasting life, then you can get together, just you and God in a prayer closet somewhere, as we mentioned in Sunday school this morning, and you just yield to your spirit, to God's spirit, and you're not going to hear an audible voice, but there's going to become over you, there's going to come more, something more than what you've ever experienced before. As a born-again believer, you can experience the very presence of God, and the Bible says that His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit. If we go to Him in faith, believing that He is, He's a rewarder of all those who diligently seek Him. Yeah, we ought to always pray because faith tells us there's a God. Go back with me to our text this morning, because the second thing here is found in verse 3. As He gives this parable of this widow woman, in verse 3 it says, "And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto Him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary." We ought to pray because faith warns us that there is evil in this world. We have an adversary. Can I tell you, and all evil stems from Satan himself. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that our adversary is the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I've been in some evil situations in my life. When I was running from God, I got into some situations where I could just sense the evil, knowing the presence of God. And we try to get away from Him. And I'll tell you, you get into some situations where you can just sense the evil around you. It reveals to you that it's not only is there a God, there's evil in this world. And we are no match for the evil in this world, because the evil stems from the devil himself, and he is our adversary, and he's like a roaring lion, and he's seeking to devour us. As we look at the condition of the world today, Satan is getting victory after victory after victory, because simply people are not calling out to God. It's not forced, but we ought always to pray. Amen. And not to faint. Satan wants us to faint. He wants us to lose our strength. He wants us to become weak and to grow discouraged. And if we are not praying as God would have us to pray, if we are not walking with God as we have opportunity to walk with God, we will faint. Yeah, no doubt about it. Luke chapter 10, I want you to see this. See, through Christ, we can have power over the enemy. We can have victory over the evil in our lives. Jesus sent out His disciples to do His bidding. And they returned in chapter 10, Luke in chapter 10, verse 17. The Bible says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name." They went out and they confronted the evil, and they were victorious, and they come back to Him rejoicing, having joy, because they were able to overcome the evil that was in the world. And He said unto them, "Behold, Satan is as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over all the power of the enemy." Over every evil that stems from the devil himself, no matter where it's coming from, I give unto you the power to overcome that evil. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wow. That's why we ought always to pray. We ought always to pray because God is real. If you believe that, why are you not communicating with Him more often? Why are you not taking things to him in prayer? Why are we not walking with him? Yeah, we ought to pray because there's a God. We ought to pray because our faith warns us that there's evil in the world. Satan is real. And the only way that we're going to overcome his temptations, the only way we're going to overcome the evil that comes our way is through the power that we have in Christ. Because they said here, they're subject unto us through thy name. Philippians in chapter 2, let me read to you. You can follow me if you get there and you can write it down. But Philippians in chapter 2 reveals some very powerful truth to us concerning prayer. The Bible says in Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly called, exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, can I tell you, that's the only way that we can have genuine prayer. That's the only way that we can come into the holies of holies. The only way that we can have a communication line between us and God is through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And when you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, he opens up a communication line through him to Almighty God. And God also had highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in the earth and the things under the earth. Prayer can influence angels, if you will. We're going to be starting a series tonight in our Sunday evening service on what the biblical account of angels and what the Bible says about them. And prayer, our prayers can influence the spirits of God, the angels of God. Prayer can be used to influence the world that we live in today. And prayer can be used to influence and overcome the powers of darkness which are under the earth, the Bible says. Prayer does that. But it's only prayer in his name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Men ought always to pray because there is a God. Men ought always to pray because there is evil. And through prayer in Jesus' name, we have power over the enemy. Amen. The last thing this morning. We ought always to pray because faith assures me that it works. You believe in God? You ought to be praying. You believe there's evil in the world? You ought to pray. If you have faith, faith is going to lead you to pray to God. If you have faith, faith is going to lead you to pray to overcome evil. If you have faith, you know the prayer works. Back in our text, he says once again, in Luke chapter 18, I tell you that he will. The Bible says he will. As you pray, he will avenge them speedily. Yeah. And then he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, we understand the Bible tells us as we get closer to the end times, there's going to be great apostasy. The Antichrist, anti-Christian principles, anti-teachings of Christ in every area of life is going to become more and more prevalent in the world that we live in. And with that, Satan is going to gain more and more influence in the world that we live. There's going to become more and more evil. That which is evil is going to be made to seem like it's good, and that which is good is going to be made to think that it's evil. That's society. Can I tell you that we're going to have to deal with a lot of different discouraging, a lot of different things in our lives? The most important thing that we can hold on to is a communication line to God. That's what he's presenting here. When I come, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find those with faith to call upon him? That's a question. He ends his parable with the question because we don't know what we're going to face, because we don't know how close we are to the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. But the thing that we need to hold on to all the way to the end is prayer. Never give up on prayer. Faith tells you these things. Helps us to understand why you should pray. And this parable was all about this widow woman. In verse 5 saying, lest by her continual coming, a persistent prayer life means I'm not giving up on it. I'm going to pray day, I'm going to pray night, I'm going to pray as often and as necessary. I'm going to pray, I'm going to continue to communicate with an almighty God until he answers that prayer, whether it be the way I want it answered or whether it's the way that he wants to answer, whatever it might be. I'm going to continue to pray until I see the hand of God working and answering that prayer. You ought to always pray. Don't give up on your faith and there being a God. And don't give up on the tool that he's given to us to use. No matter what's going on in our lives, we have a powerful tool of prayer. Do not overcomplicate that which God has made to be simple. Now, how God is able to know the heart's intent of every individual around the world, how God is able to be everywhere at the same time in the fullness of his power, how God can have each one of us in eternity in mind in everything that he does and every prayer that he answers, that blows my mind. We could never understand that this side of heaven. We have the limitations. But this, no, our part, God has made simple. Salvation itself, we look at what God has done and all the complications of heaven and everything that took place with God the Son in three persons, God in three persons, and the Son coming to this earth and dying on the cross. And then sending the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. All that go along with that, if we look at his part, it's very complicated. We can't fully understand it. But our part, God has made simple. Amen. Do not overcomplicate that which God has made to be simple. Whether it be prayer, whether it be salvation, just do what God says to do. In faith, and see what God will do for you. See, faith leads us to pray. And praying leads us to fast. Because every now and then there comes a this kind that you're going to have to incorporate the extension of prayer to be able to get the answer to prayer. But God has made it simple. First of all, faith. Once you have a faith that there's a God, there's a devil, and the prayer works, then you'll pray. And as you pray and you see how prayer works, when it comes of this kind, then I add fasting to my prayer, and we find the victory that God wants us to have. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Do not overcomplicate that which God has made to be simple. Just believe God and do what He says. This morning, you might be blinded and you're overcomplicating the simple plan of salvation. Just do what the Bible says. Do what God has told you to do so that you can be saved. Once you're saved, you have the powerful tool that God gives every believer, and that's a tool of prayer. And your prayer will be heard. And in the power of Jesus' name, you have the power of God to overcome whatever it is that you're facing. All of this leads us to this simple truth. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Father, we bow before You. Thank You, Lord God, for this parable and for the teachings of our Savior on prayer. And Lord, as we've been in this, going into this prayer and fasting month, and as we've been into the teachings in Sunday school on prayer, I pray, God, that it would all come together and we would be strengthened with our understanding, a biblical understanding about how we are to communicate with our God, the power that's found within it. I pray right now, God, if there's those that are here that need to come to this altar, possibly for salvation, maybe for baptism or repentance or whatever it might be, maybe they're discouraged, maybe they just are in need of Your hand upon their lives, whatever it would be, I pray, God, as they come to You, that You would give them this peace of knowing that You're here and that You'll work to answer their prayer. Bless in this invitation. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.